Thank you very much. My name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic of the recovered variety because it tells me in the front page of my big book I can become recovered. Doesn't mean I'm cured. It means I'm given a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And what I've learned is my spiritual condition is none of my business. That's God's business. But the maintenance of it is my business. So what have I done today to make sure that I stay sober? I'll be honest with you, the first AA meeting I came to, it was 20 days after my third suicide attempt in my last year of drinking. I'd prayed to a God that I swore I didn't believe in no end of times to fix a problem I didn't know I had over and over again. I'd prayed to him to keep me alive until the morning, to keep me from getting pulled over, to stop the police coming through the door, to let the judge give me the minimum sentence rather than the maximum sentence for around about 35 years. When my prayers started to change, I started to pray to die. I was drinking to die. I didn't want to be here anymore. And the book talks in the spiritual experience about this educational variety of a spiritual experience, which I know is the mainstay in these rooms. I know the first book said that you were supposed to have a white light experience. That is not the case. I sponsor people who sponsor people who sponsor people who sponsor people. I know the educational variety is how it goes. So if you haven't found your God yet, don't worry. Borrow mine. There's enough of him to go around, and he's a pretty good guy. I recommend him very highly. But for me, he spoke to me one morning and told me I was done. Didn't hear a voice. I just knew I didn't want to drink anymore. And to this day, I have never drunk. But I did try to kill myself at 20 days sober. In fact, I'd planned to kill myself the night I came to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I was miserable. I was lonely. Hadn't drunk for 20 days. But I had no solution, no sufficient substitute for alcohol, which was my medicine, my solution to everything. Because I can't stand the way that I feel on any given day. I will find any excuse to drink, anything to stop me feeling what I'm feeling, because I just don't know how to be a grown up. And on the night I came into my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, it was online. And my master plan was to come in and just not feel lonely for an hour. And I logged on 15 minutes early, and there were all these screens on full of these Irish people. They're very happy, filled with joy and free from the bondage that I was living in, which baffled me because I thought we were just going to come here and moan about how miserable our lives were. And I've been to AA meetings where people do that, but this was a very solution-focused meeting. I was very lucky to find it. And then they muted us all, and this guy comes on the screen. He's got a full head of hair, thick Irish accent. He's much better looking than me. He's got no beard. He's not like me. You see, I'm terminally unique, don't you know? If you'd had my life, you'd drink like I drink. I'm not like you people. I'm me, the one and only me. All that trauma that I've had, all that life that I've chosen, that's why I drink. And then this cat starts talking. Started on a Friday night. He was having a few drinks with the boys. And after a few drinks, he was 10 feet tall. He could fight all the geezers. All the girls wanted to snog him, and he could dance like John Travolta. And then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then a Monday sneaks in. And then it's 4 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and he's dreading the sound of his kids coming down the stairs because he can't face them till his wife leaves and takes his kids. And now she's shacked up with another guy and he wants to kill that guy. But most of all, he wants to kill himself while he sits in a shed on his own at the bottom of his parents' garden, drinking vodka and staring at a screen because he doesn't know what to do with his life. Only that ain't his story. He's telling my story, almost word for word. And then he starts to talk about a solution. And I'd love to tell you I can remember what he said, but I can't. But I do remember at the end of the meeting, they said to me, put my number in the chat. Now, I've recently lost my job. I've recently split up with my girlfriend. I've recently had my fourth suicide attempt this year. And I'm planning my third, sorry. And I'm planning my fourth one tonight after the meeting. But for some reason, I put my number in the chat and I didn't think any more of it. After my last suicide attempt, I'd been in hospital 4 days. I told my dad everything, told him exactly who his son was. And then I came home and I was completely and utterly alone because nobody wanted to talk to me. Because if you knew me back then, I've undoubtedly lied to you, stolen from you, cheated you, and manipulated you in some horrible base way because I don't care about you, because I don't care about me. have to brush my teeth and shave in the shower because I cannot stand the reflection of the man looking back at me. It's a sad, lonely place to find yourself. So nobody's been ringing me. My phone hasn't rung. And when it does ring, the number has got this strange code on the front of it because I don't recognize it. I actually thought I'd won the Nigerian lottery for the third time that year, but it turns out it was the guy who'd just done the main share. This cat gave an hour of his time on a Friday night to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when he could have been with his friends or his family or his kids or whatever he wanted to be doing. He gave of himself freely to carry a message of experience, strength, and hope to a lost alcoholic like me. And then, after he'd done that for an hour, he called a man he'd never met and he asked me how I was doing. And we spoke for an hour. And truth be told, I cried like a baby because I couldn't answer that very simple question. I didn't know how I felt. I just didn't have an answer for that. All I could tell him is that I was lost. And at the end of that hour-long phone call, after promising me I would never have to drink again and I could have a life beyond my wildest dreams, there was something about the way he said it that just made me believe it. And he asked me to promise him two things. One, that I'd pray before I went to bed, and I did. I'd love to say I had a spiritual experience then, but I didn't. I got on my knees. I Googled the words to the Serenity Prayer. I'd only just learned it in the meeting and I couldn't remember it word for word. But I said it because he asked me to. And I prayed from my head, not from my heart. It's a long journey for an alcoholic to go from the head to the heart, I've found. And there's no elevator, so you do have to take the steps. But I realized the second thing he asked me to do was a bigger ask. He asked me to come to another online meeting with him the following morning. And I told him that I would. I promised him that I would. And despite planning to throw myself off of a cliff at 10 o'clock that night at high tide, leaving my 14-year-old daughter behind, my parents, people that would blame themselves for turning their back on me, despite that being my fault, I went to that meeting the following morning. Took me 6 months to tell him he saved my life that night. That's the importance of taking each other's numbers and calling each other. They have this meeting in one of the other fellowships, this reading called Reaching Out. That man made a 12-step call that night to an alcoholic he'd never met before to try and help him. He didn't want to go to the meeting to do the main share, I found out months later. He didn't think that he was good enough to be a sponsor because he'd only just started sponsoring and his first sponsor had gone out the door. But he made a call to me and he saved my life without even knowing it, just by asking me how I was doing. He's not my sponsor, but we still speak every day. His name's Keith, and I don't say it to break his anonymity. I say it to honor the man that saved my life because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So I started hanging around meetings, and for those of you not keeping score, four suicide attempts, pretty much homeless, no job, no girlfriend, no real life of any kind of consequence. But clearly, I know better than the man taking me through the book. So I sack my first sponsor. I don't like the way he's doing it. And then I sack my second sponsor because I don't like the way he's doing it. Because I know better. I know better than everyone. Can't you see how well my life's going? And then I come to another online meeting. My God, this cat comes on the screen and there's just something about him. I'm a raving heterosexual, but there is something about this man that I'm like, wow. And I ask him for his number and he's in LA and I'm in the UK at the time. And I call him up and I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit like the ugly kid at school asking the prettiest girl to prom. It was like, would you be my sponsor, please? And he said, no, I'll find you somebody in the UK. And I went, no. I want what you've got. So you've just told me you've been a thief all your life. You always want other people's stuff. If you want what I've got, you've got to do what I do. Are you willing to do what I do? Now, for those of you who have been keeping score, things aren't going so well for Mark at the minute. So I would have been willing to do whatever he said. If this crazy cat had said, stand on your hands for an hour, I would have learned how to stand on my hands for an hour. If he'd have said, sign a contract in blood, I'd have opened a vein. If he'd have said, meet me at 3 o'clock in the morning, well, I stayed up later than that drinking. Yeah, I'll get up if you're in LA. I'll do that. Do you know what this crazy cat asked me to do? Meet him at 7 o'clock UK time on a Tuesday, once a week, with a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, a pen, and a highlighter. And truth be told, I didn't have any money. So he sent me a big book, a pen, and a highlighter from Amazon. Kind of took away all my excuses for not turning up. Okay, we'll give it a go. So I turn up for the first session. He has me draw this circle, this triangle, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like the Illuminati or something. I'd seen step four on the wall, and I was like, oh, I get it now. I'm going to tell you all my secrets, and you're going to blackmail me. Me, who is worthless. What are you going to blackmail me for? But there I am again, delusional in myself. And he explains alcoholism to me in a way that nobody else has been able to do. Tells me that I've got a disease of the mind, the body, and the spirit. And if you're one of the mind and the body people, twofold disease, more power to you. For me, it's a threefold disease. Now, I'm recently single, so as I'm making notes, I'm also planning out my dating profile. He tells me that my mind is delusional. I'm like, okay, well, that's not a great start. What does that mean? He says, well, you lie to yourself thousands of times a day, and it starts off small. It will tell me that Margie doesn't really like me. Margie and Tom F don't like me. Nobody in this room likes me. Nobody in Alcoholics Anonymous likes me. Nobody in the world likes me. And I snowball and snowball and snowball until I get back to the end game line. Maybe a drink will make this feel better. Maybe it'll just be one this time. Okay. Mine's not looking great. It's looking like I'm going to be single for a while here. Tell me about this body side of it. He says, well, you've got an allergy. I'm like, peanut allergy. He says, no, you've got the only allergy in the world that lies to you. Because if somebody's allergic to peanuts, they don't decide they want a Snickers after 6 months of not eating peanuts, that they will be okay to stroke a cat if they're allergic to cats because they haven't stroked one for a year. But your allergy will tell you that you haven't got it. And the problem is, when you drink one, you trigger something called a phenomenon of craving. You develop a thirst you cannot quench. You will do horrible, incomprehensible, demoralizing things that you will not remember, probably in my case, the following day, never mind a week or a month. Okay. Mind, not great. Body, not great. I really am going to be single forever, aren't I? What's this spirit side of the disease? Says, well, that's spiritual malady. Well, I'm not the brightest cat in the book. They're very big words. I don't understand them. They were written in the 1930s when people went to church on a Sunday, and I am not a churchgoer. What the hell is a spiritual malady? When he frames it as emotional unmanageability, I don't know how to manage my emotions on a daily basis because I have tethered my spirit to the belief that if I get what I want when I want it, I will be happy. Now, let's be right about this. The universe very rarely gives me what I want when I want it. And do you know what happens when the universe does give me what I want when I want it? I don't want it anymore. I want something else because I'm trying to fill something inside of me with external things. That's a hole that I just cannot fill. But if I tether my spirit to other things, I may be able to treat it. So then he takes me back to this funky triangle that he had me draw with three words on it: recovery, unity, service. Okay, so I'm looking at this Illuminati symbol, thinking, right, here's the punch. Here's the bit that's going to cost me something. Here's where they put the hand in my pocket. I've seen that tradition seven cup going round. Where does that go? We all buying beer with it afterwards or what? And he says to me, the recovery side of the triangle is the first 164 pages of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That contains the diagnosis for your disease. It will explain why you think the way you do. It will remind you, because I am the kind of alcoholic who will tell myself I am not an alcoholic. It will remind you of why you do what you do, but it also contains this wonderful design for living. Because guess what, Mark? All of your problems aren't new. They're all rooted in the same seven deadly sins that have been around for thousands of years. Okay, your girlfriend just messaged somebody on Facebook. It's only like the goat herder's wife smiling at the sheep herder. It's just how it was. Okay. So how do I treat my mind? Read two pages of the book every day. That seems doable. I think I can manage that. What about this body side of the things? How do I treat that? He said, well, that's the unity side of the triangle. Bad news for you. I see you're looking at the service side of the triangle, but service in meetings is unity. You've got to do a little bit of service. You've got to do a little bit of unity. You've got to go to a meeting. That one kind of clicks because if I'm sat with my people, and you are all my people, you are alcoholics who are trying to improve your life. So, by the way, you're miracles. Welcome to the greatest show on earth. But if I'm sat with you people, I'm not in the bar doing drunk things with drunk people that I'm going to regret the day after. Pretty much common sense, isn't it? Sit with an alcoholic and talk about recovery rather than sitting with a drunk and talking about how good the beer is. Didn't take a lot of working out. So I've got the mind, I've got the body. I read the book, I come to a meeting. Okay, great. The spirit side of the thing. He says, oh, well, that's 12-step work, the service side of the triangle. Well, Mark's a defeatist. Mark understands he hasn't taken step one yet, so how can he possibly do 12-step work from a pen down? Single forever. Nobody's ever going to love me. My life's going to be miserable for the rest of it. And he points out how this whole program started with step 12. No big book, Eddie goes and finds Bill. No big book, Bill goes and finds Dr. Bob. No big book, Bill and Dr. Bob go and find Bill Dodson. And it carries on like that for the next 4 years until they produce a big book, fumbling their way through, trying to help other people. So let's break down what step 12 actually says. Having had a spiritual awakening. For those of you who haven't had a spiritual awakening and haven't yet borrowed My God, who I do highly recommend, let me wake you up to a fact. There are 8 billion people on this planet. They're all struggling. They've all got problems. Your problems are not the center of the universe, and neither are you. We all need a little bit of help. There's a spiritual awakening for you. When you can get your head around that, you start to realize maybe it's a little bit more than outside. As a result of the 12 steps, well, I've taken them, so you can claim that spiritual awakening as a result of my 12 steps. But it doesn't say as a result of completing the 12 steps. Just says somewhere in the 12 steps, your spiritual awakening will come when it comes. I try to carry the message to alcoholics who still suffer. Now, drugs play a part in my story, and I always wanted the pure of drugs. I wanted the good stuff. I didn't want the cheap stuff. I wanted the good liquor. I didn't want the cheap stuff. Well, the pure of recovery is not some bald idiot from England who moved to California telling you his opinion on it. It's contained in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is where the message is found. Not my message, not your message, not anybody else's message, because that's just opinion. Read the book. And here comes the kicker. This was the one that got me. I've got to live by my principles in all my affairs. Well, that's confusing because one of the principles is honesty and one of them is kindness. So how do I answer when my wife says, does my ass look big in this? Am I honest or am I kind? I don't know. The principles don't work. It's very complicated and there's too many of them. He's hired one to each step, one to each tradition, and one to each concept. That's 36 principles. So he breaks it down very easy for me. Treat each person in front of you like they are the most important person to you in that moment. And try and be the blessing to everybody you meet so that when you leave them, their life is just a little bit more enriched than it was when you found them. Smile, be kind, be loving, be tolerant, be sweet. So, what's my life like now? Married a great girl, way too pretty for me. Don't know how that happened. If you don't believe in God, just have a look at a picture of me and my wife. There's clearly a miracle there. My daughter talks to me about her boyfriend, which I hate. I was hoping for a lesbian or a nun, but it turns out she's a raving heterosexual like her father, with no taste whatsoever. So that's going to be an interesting 20 years for me. I turn up today when I say I'm going to turn up. I do what I say I'm going to do. I'm honest. I'm kind. And I'm at peace, and I recognize my own defects, and I work very hard on them. Somebody said to me, six and seven, they're really short. You need to read the 12 and 12. Paragraph six and paragraph seven in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous are absolutely perfect. And if you haven't worked that out yet, you haven't been reading the book. The whole thing's about six and seven. The first five steps just lead me to what my defects are. And the five steps after step seven are just me working on them in a different way. How can I be of service to you today? Because guess what? When I'm more concerned about what I can do for you, I'm less concerned about what's going on with me. And I'll be honest with you, it hasn't always been sunshine, rainbows, and butterflies. I had to fly back from California to face some charges from my past. I spent a night on remand, and the book tells me when going gets rough, working with another alcoholic will work. And I found myself in a cell with a drug addict who was rattling. And all I took in with me was my big book. And my rosary. I'm not even a Catholic, but my mother-in-law gave me one and she took it to protect me. Very sweet woman. Learned a lot from her. Be quick to see where religious people are right. And I sat and read step one with this man all night. And I was happy. I was at peace. And I was useful. Bill tells us on page eight, he was to know a way of life that was filled with happiness, peace, and usefulness that was incredibly more wonderful as time went along. And I'm going to give you the secret sauce here, guys. Happiness and peace, they don't come from things. They are side effects of being useful to your fellow man and woman. So pick the phone up, ask somebody else how they're doing. Get out of self, because if you're sitting in your own problems, you're just sitting in your own stink. Asking somebody else how they're doing gives you time to emotionally regulate and put your problems back into perspective. Because guess what? Your problems are not going to be the end of the universe. Probably won't even be the end of your day. And I'm going to give you one last gift before I go. And I know I've gone over and it's probably not supposed to, but God has inspired me to tell you this. All of the good answers and all of the good questions have the word today in them. So don't sit and think, what am I going to do about my finances? What am I going to do about my finances today? What am I going to do about this relationship? No. What are you going to do about it today? Because we've only got one day. The rest of it's down to God. Hope you got something from something that I said. Thank you very much for letting me share. I love you all very much. My name's Mark.